Okay, good evening, folks, and welcome to our evening service here at Lighthouse Baptist Church, the close of a wonderful day in the Lord, and we're going to have a special speaker tonight. He's sitting behind me, Brother Nachi, and that'll give you a chance to listen to somebody besides myself for a change. Thank you very much, sister. Now, if I'd heard that from you, Brother McCants, I would have understood. Wow. Yes. Anyway, let's open our light blue hymnals to number 147, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. My song leader's not here, so you're going to have to allow me to do the song leading tonight. Let's stand together as we sing this hymn.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning,
turn around and shake hands with somebody and make them feel welcome here tonight.
To dread, what have I to fear, leaning on the everlasting arms? I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Whoops. The brother behind me just threw me off. He started singing repeating the first line of the chorus while we're trying to sing the second line of the chorus. Hey, you know what? We make mistakes. We have to show that we're human. I mean, we are not perfect. Our only perfection is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Without Him, we'd be eternally lost, really. So, Yes. Brother Nachi, come on up here and pray, and then we'll get Brother Nardi to come up here and lead us in the next hymn. Okay? I saw him slip in somewhere.
All right, folks, let's remain standing, and we'll open in prayer here tonight. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this night, and Father, we just thank you for who you are, a loving and a merciful God, and Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you bestow upon us. Father, we just pray now tonight that you will meet with us in a mighty way. Father, that everything that is said and done in this service will be to your honor and glory, from the singing to the preaching to the offering, whatever we may do here tonight, the fellowship time to follow. Father, may it all be done so that you may be glorified. Father, we just pray now that you will just be with us tonight as we seek to praise and worship you. And Father, if there be anyone here tonight that know not you as their Savior, Father, we just pray that they will make that decision tonight, the greatest decision that they can ever make. And Father, we just pray for those that may be hurting, and Father, we just pray that they will get comfort and encouragement from the message tonight. And Father, we just love you and thank you for all that you do and will continue to do for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, as Ray comes to lead, there he is. Number 89, Does Jesus Care?
Behind you.
I know. Okay.
Savior.
Okay, just a few quick announcements. And, you know, just as a matter of levity, that first hymn, that 147, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, the first line of the chorus, halfway through that first line of the chorus, those of you who are baseball fans, that sounds like a life insurance advertisement. Safe and secure. Those of you who followed the Phillies, you know what I'm talking about. We won't go any further with that. All right, just a quick announcements. Now, Wednesday night, we'll be here, prayer meeting and King's Kids, and we'll have a good time with that. Tonight, don't forget, after the evening service, we're going to have a fellowship time, and we'll stand around and feed our faces and have a good time of chit-chat with each other. Next Sunday, Lord's Table, March's Benevolence Offering during the morning service, and also Baptist Bread Daily Devotional is out there for the months of March and April. It's out there on the table in the vestibule. Vacation Bible School Workers Meeting next Sunday morning, right after the morning service. And with that, I do need to continue to make the announcement that I made this morning. We do have a special congregational meeting two Sundays from today, right after the morning service, concerning an amendment to our bylaws. And that amendment concerns the date of our annual business meeting. And since it's a part of the bylaws, we have to announce that 2 weeks from the pulpit, and it's in paper, it's in writing out there. I think there might be some more copies out there. If not, we will have some more made up if you don't have one. Pennies for Brazil update. What a wonderful thing that's happening there. $334 has been raised thus far toward the goal, and there's containers in the lobby if you want to contribute and help. Fill them up and return them to my wife. And then we came close to meeting our goal for the budget. And just as an aside, I don't see everything that's happening as far as the finances of the church. I am not a financial person, even at home. My wife handles the finances, which is a good thing, because I'm not as good as handling it as her. However, was it her brother opened our gas bill for the last month this morning? It came in yesterday's mail. The gas bill for this building for 1 month was $1,000. So, you know, the offerings that you give do not go in the pastor's pocket. Trust me. If the gas bill is $1,000, I don't know what the electric bill is, the light bill. I'm not sure I want to know. Okay, he said it fluctuates. In the summertime, that goes up and the gas bill goes down, which is not a surprise, but but $1,000 a month to keep this building heated. And it is not heated every day of the week. Hello? So we'll just make that as a light mention. Prayer request. Crystal Bugle, 1 week is left in February, and she wants by the end of February, by the end of this week, to be at 90% so she can order her flight ticket to Mainz, Germany. And so we're keeping that in prayer. I don't know how close that is in terms of actual dollar value, but she's within 2% of her goal. So that's a good thing. So with that, A Shelter in the Time of Storm, number 146. Brother, if you'll come and lead us in that.
Sing hymn number 146. If the men will come in after this, we'll have the evening offering right after hymn number 146, Shelter in the Time of Storm.
The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm.
secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms may round us beat, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, rock divine, oh, refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Gentlemen, if you'll come at this time. Robert McCants, if you'll ask the blessing on the offering, please. And right before Robert comes to bring the evening message, we'll all stand up and sing from the Light Blue Hymn Books, hymn number 138, The Haven of Rest. Hymn number 138, from the Light Blue Hymn Books, The Haven of Rest. Choice. tempest may sweep on a wild stormy deep, in Jesus I'm safe evermore. I yielded myself to his tender embrace, and faith taking hold of the fetters fell off, and I anchored my soul. The haven of rest is my Lord. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. Tempest may sweep on a wild stormy deep, in Jesus I'm safe evermore. The song of my soul since the Lord made me whole has been the old story so blessed. Jesus, oh, save whosoever will have a home in a haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in a haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. Tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, in Jesus I'm safe evermore. Oh, come to the Savior, he patiently waits to by his power divine. Come anchor your soul in the haven of rest, and say, my beloved is mine. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. Tempest may sweep on the wild stormy deep, in Jesus I'm safe evermore.
All right, thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Ray. And take your Bibles tonight. Psalm chapter 61. Psalm chapter 61 tonight. We'll be there in a few moments. It's certainly glad to see each of you here tonight. And we do have a first-time visitor, Kiki, right down here in front. I'm sure most of you have gotten to her already to say hello. If you haven't, get to her after the service and make her feel welcome. We're glad to have you in the service tonight. And we're certainly glad for everyone else here tonight. Psalm chapter 61 will be there in a few moments. Tonight I'd like to speak to you on a subject that at one time or another we all face. A subject that, if we allow it to, will consume us, will cause us to run from God, to run from church, and to even lose our song. It's a subject and something that you may even be facing yourself as you sit here tonight. And it's a subject that no doubt many all across our world are maybe facing tonight. And that is the feeling of being overwhelmed. And you may be here tonight, and you may be feeling overwhelmed with work, with school, with a relationship, with your home life, with circumstances that are beyond your control, with perhaps even with your church, with the duties that you have within the church. You may be just feeling overwhelmed here tonight. You're here tonight and you say, I'm overwhelmed. I'm stressed out. Some of you may be saying and thinking, I'm scared, I'm discouraged, I'm confused. I'm at the end of my rope. I just don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. And no doubt there are people just like that all over our world here tonight. They're overwhelmed with work. They're overwhelmed with school. They're overwhelmed with relationships, with their home life, with circumstances that they may be able to control, that they may not be able to control. They're overwhelmed, perhaps, with their church. They're scared. They're discouraged. They're confused. They're perhaps at the end of the rope, and they just don't know where to go. They just don't know who to turn. And, folks, we see it almost every day. You know, we have folks that come to this church looking for help, nowhere else to turn, looking for hope, looking for someone to talk to have an ear to hear, a kind word to help them as they navigate the storms of life. They're just overwhelmed. And folks, I'll be honest, and sometimes it can be overwhelming for those of us that see it on a day-to-day basis, a week-to-week basis, that we see that people are hurting, that need help. But folks, praise God that we have something that we can give them when they come to that door. And it's much more than just a meal on the final Saturday of the month. It's much more than just clothing. It's much more than just the food pantry that we have. It's much more than that. When they come to the door, they get the Lord Jesus Christ, the overcomer of those that are overwhelmed. And what a wonderful thought that is, that we have the Lord Jesus Christ that we can offer them. When you're overwhelmed, that's who you can turn to. The Lord Jesus Christ, the overcomer of those that are overwhelmed. For you, Christian, here tonight, however, it's very easy for us to allow the overwhelming to consume us if we're not careful and know not where to turn. And folks, when we allow the overwhelming to consume us, we can lose our song, and we can even lose our faith in God and begin to wonder just where He is when it seems like we're at the absolute lowest of lows in our life. The book of Psalms, which is where we'll be for most of tonight's message, is unique in that it is the largest book in the Bible with 150 chapters. It also contains the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119. Which is unique in of itself. The Psalms are divided into five books, each concluding with a doxology of praise. They are broken into book number one, Psalm chapter 1 through chapter 41. Psalm 42 through 72 is book 2. Book 3 is Psalms chapter 73 through 89. Book 4 is Psalm 90 to 106. And book 5 is Psalm 107 to 150. For our purposes here tonight, Psalm 61, we will be in what is referred to as the second book. The book of Psalms is also unique amongst the books of the Bible because it has a number of authors, chief of which was David. The word translated as psalm simply means melody or song. The book of Psalms, therefore, was essentially Old Testament Israel's hymn book. And many of the Psalms begin with David when he was in a valley of life and discouraged. Yet, as he began to focus on the mercy of the Lord, that psalm, the psalm is transformed to one of praise, and it ends upon that mountaintop. And this now brings us to our text here tonight in Psalm 61. And look at a man feeling just the way we've described. A man who is feeling overwhelmed and at his absolute lowest. That man is King David, as we see that the psalm is ascribed to him, written after he had become king. It was written during his enforced exile from the tabernacle, likely during Absalom's rebellion. Now, Absalom had done his best to take his father's throne and his father's life. As a result of Absalom's actions, David had been exiled from his home and his family. David had been hunted by soldiers that were loyal to his own son, and his own son had done everything in his power to destroy his own father. The only reason that David survived the revolt was by the grace of God. When this psalm was written, the rebellion is over. Absalom is dead, and David is headed home. He is going back, however, with sorrow in his heart, because the son that he loved more than life itself is gone. He is going back to reclaim his rightful place on the throne of Israel. He is going home to help restore a nation that at this time was torn apart by civil war. And David is going home, but he is going home with a heart filled with sorrow, a heart that is overwhelmed. Now, while this psalm is a short one, it is one of profound faith in a time of great mourning. David was at his absolute lowest point in life. Yet in that dark hour, his eyes turned to the rock that was higher than he. And for a few moments here tonight, this is the subject I'd like to speak to you on, and it is when my heart is overwhelmed. When my heart is overwhelmed. You found your place in Psalm 61. I invite you to go ahead and stand with me as we read the entire chapter here tonight. Psalm 61, a short chapter, but one of profound importance. We'll begin at verse number 1, reading down through the end of the chapter, verse number 8. The Word of God says, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. I will prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you for this night. And Father, we thank you for this passage in your word, Father. And Father, I just pray tonight that you will use this message as only you can. Father, may you just get me out of the way, that I may deliver it in a clear, understandable way, that it may be a help, an encouragement, and a challenge to you. And Father, we just pray and ask that everything that is said and done will be to your honor and glory. And Father, we just pray now you will bless this time of study and preaching. We love you and thank you for all that you do and will continue to do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's look at this a little bit more, this psalm. Look at verse 1 again. It says, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer." Notice how David begins this chapter. It's with an urgent plea to God. He says, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer." He cries out to God for God to hear his cry, to attend to his prayer. But why was it such an urgent prayer? Well, as we said earlier, David at this point had been banished from the kingdom that he loved and will one day inherit by Saul. He was forbidden to see his best friend, Jonathan, one of the only people that cared for him during this time. He was being hunted like a wild animal, in fear for his life, scared for certain. For sure he was discouraged, confused at his condition. Remember, he was anointed to be king of Israel. And if you would, at the end of his rope. So with no one else to turn to, he turns to God. He cries out to God in desperate circumstances, which they were, forged. And prayer, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer." This one verse, I believe, teaches us a wonderful truth about God's love and his mercy. And that truth is this, that when we are at our absolute lowest, with seemingly nowhere else to turn, we still have God that we can turn to. God is always there to hear our cries and attend to our prayers. But it also teaches us something else, and that is when facing difficult circumstances and situations, turn to God first. Turn to God first. So many times we take our problems, our difficulties, our circumstances, and our situations to our friends or our family. And folks, while there's nothing sinful or wrong about that, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with that. I believe that we should take them to God first, because He is ever ready to help in the storms of life. And most times, in a way, better than friends or family or any other human could possibly ever begin to be able to help. Desperate circumstances forged an urgent prayer. But not only was it an urgent prayer, but it was a bold and confident prayer as well. Notice, David says, "Hear my cry, O God." Folks, this is the cry of a broken-hearted man. Absalom and David had always had a stormy relationship. It was always a rocky relationship. They had been estranged earlier, but David had forgiven his transgressions and their relationship had been restored. And that's what David was hoping for that would happen this time. But now Absalom is dead. His son is dead. There will be no restoration this time around. There is only the overwhelming sense of loss, of sorrow, and of defeat. He feels lonely, separated, and cut off from the Lord. He says that his heart is overwhelmed. The word overwhelmed means enveloped, faint, or weak. The idea here is that sorrows have enveloped his heart and have sapped all his strength away. So he cries out to God for the help to make it through the problems he is facing. From that crushed soul, David reaches up to God and he pleads with God to hear his cry. The word cry here speaks of a piercing cry, a ringing cry, a plaintive plea. David reaches up to the only one that he has left, and that is God. He lifts his voice to the Lord and seeks an audience with the only one who can help him. Many times, that's all you'll have is God Himself. You know the insurance commercial that says, "You're in good hands"? Well, with God, you're in better hands. Amen? Many times, He is the only one that can help. Folks, have you ever been there? Have you ever been to the place where you, like David, feel cut off from God? Have you ever been in the place where you felt that you were very far away from Him? Now, I know that sin can produce that feeling, but so can sorrow and suffering. There are times when the problems, the difficulties, and trials of life envelop our heart and drain the energy right from us. Ever been to that point here tonight, folks? Because I know I have. There are times when life overwhelms us. But when those times come, we may sometimes think the Lord does not care about us and that we must beg Him for His attention. But dear friend, here tonight, I want you to know that the Lord has already promised to hear you when you call upon Him. We sung it here tonight. It was, "Does Jesus Care?" Listen to that first verse. It says, "Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long." He's asking, does Jesus care when our hearts are overwhelmed, when we're filled with pain, when we're filled with sorrow, when we're filled with the overwhelming sense of sorrow? But then it gets to the chorus, "Oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. What a wonderful thought that is here tonight. So at those times when you seem like God is afar off, know that He has promised to hear you when you call on Him. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The very God of heaven inclines His ear to hear you tonight. He listens for your voice because He is your Father and you are His child. Child of God here tonight, pray with confidence. Pray and cry unto Him. When your heart is overwhelmed, the very first thing this passage teaches us to do is to come to the Lord in confidence. And you know why? Because of a few things. Number one, because He knows us already. Job 23:10, but He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Know that He knows you, but know also that He cares about you. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. But not only that, know that He invites you to come to Him. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And finally, know that He has promised to hear you and help you when you do. Matthew 7:7-8, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Philippians 4:6-7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. When your heart is overwhelmed, the Lord Jesus Christ gives you a peace that passes all understanding, and He promises to keep you. When my heart is overwhelmed, pray to God urgently and with confidence, knowing beyond any shadow of a doubt that He does hear you and that He will help you. When those times of overwhelming comes, the right place to go is to the Lord. He is the only one who can help us. He is the only one who can deliver us from what threatens to destroy us. Psalm 46, turn there with me. Psalm chapter 46. Psalm chapter 46, verses 1 through 3, and then verse 10. The Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. And verse number 10, a very comforting and a very important verse. Be still and know that I am God. When your heart is overwhelmed, get to God, being still, knowing that He is God. Psalm 145:18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. Christian, here tonight, when your heart is overwhelmed, if you need help, call on the Lord, and He will help you. Back to Psalm 61. Back to Psalm 61 and verse number 2. Psalm 61 and verse number 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Driven from His beloved land, no longer able to go to the tabernacle to pray, and far from familiar settings, David prayed in despair. David was overwhelmed with trouble like the sea billows roll. In that hour, his only recourse was the rock that was higher than he. With poetic eloquence, he likened God as his rock of strength and help. And that is because David knew that God was as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land, Isaiah 32:2. He knew his rock was the rock of ages cleft for him. Therein was great refuge and strength. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. What a comforting thought that is for us here tonight as Christians to know that God is our rock and that we can take refuge in Him. In fact, rock is actually one of God's names. Did you know that? In Old Testament Jewish times, they had different names for God depending on how they felt at that time and who God was to them at that particular time. In Old Testament times, a name was not only identification, but it was an identity as well. And one of God's identities is that of rock, or Sor, which means rock, faithful and reliable one. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 4. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 4. The very first phrase, He is the rock, and His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. Here in this verse, we see seven attributes of God's character that are noted. Number one, He is the rock. Number two, His work is perfect. Number three, all His ways are judgment. Number four, He is a God of truth. Number five, He is without iniquity. Number six, He is just. And number seven, He is right. But the one we want to focus on is that very first one, and that is, He is the rock. This is the first reference in the Bible that we have referring to God as our rock, a symbol of strength, stability, and immensity. David knew this, that God, in times of great trouble, is His strength, stability, His faithful, reliable one, and His rock. Folks, thank God that there is a rock, that we have a rock that we can turn to, that there is a place of safety, that there is a place of refuge. There is a place where we can flee in the times of trouble, sorrow, and suffering. There is a place where the storms cannot come, that the winds cannot blow, and the waves cannot reach. There is a safe haven. There is a rock, and His name is Jesus. The book of Proverbs says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth unto it and is safe. Proverbs 18:10. But back to Psalm 61. So back to Psalm 61. Verses 3 and 4. For Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in Thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of Thy wings, Selah. David goes on, for Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Using metaphors of everyday life, David likened God's help to a shelter from the elements. A strong tower in that time was a masonry stone fortress that was built as a military defensive position. It was impenetrable. You couldn't get through the attacks of the day. And that's how David described the Lord, as his shelter from the storms and his protection from the battles. Folks, when God secures you, nothing can get to you. That's how David was describing Him here in Psalm. And both metaphors were appropriate. In his flight from his son, David no longer could count upon a roof over his head. And further, he knew a battle against possibly superior forces was inevitable. But God was his shelter and his fortress. We sing one of the hymns, a mighty fortress is our God. That's how David was seeing God at this time. And because of that, David announces and proclaims, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. Now, he was banished from Jerusalem at this point. And David still committed himself to God. Now, some have speculated and there are commentaries that say when David was saying that he will abide in thy tabernacle forever, he wasn't talking necessarily about an earthly tabernacle. He was talking about the heavenly tabernacle one day when he would meet his God. But nevertheless, David swore faithfulness to God, even in the darkest of circumstances. And what a picture that is for us. Here we have a commitment by David to live close to the Lord. He resolves to worship the Lord, to seek the Lord, to love the Lord, and to love for the Lord. The picture here is of a man who is hurting, yet in the midst of his pain, he knows that God is working on his behalf. He does not have all the information of what God is going to do, but he is determined to honor the Lord with his love, his worship, and with his life. And folks, this is the same attitude that we need to have. But it's also the same attitude that we witness in the life of Job. Job chapter 1. Turn there with me if you would. Job chapter 1. Verses 20 through 22. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. What a picture that is. At this point in chapter 1, Job had lost his family. He had lost his land. He had lost his possessions, his cattle. And later on in the book of Job, he would go on to lose his health, his friends. But yet, time and time again, we see that he would not blame God. And folks, this should be our resolve as well. Folks, there will be times when your heart is breaking. There will be. There's no getting around it. There will be times when your heart is breaking. But folks, if you belong to Him, He is working in your life to accomplish His will. He is ever working for your good and His glory. So our duty is to trust Him regardless of the circumstances, to determine in our hearts that we will commit all we have and all that we are to Him. We must resolve to praise Him in spite of how we feel, what we think, or how things look. Folks, there will be times where your heart is breaking and you're going to say, God, why me? Keep on serving Him. Keep on seeking Him. Keep on praising Him. Despite how you feel, despite how the circumstances may feel. We see an example of this in Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Turn there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12. Beginning at verse number 7. Second Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse number 7. And reading down through verse number 10. Apostle Paul is speaking here, and he says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. In other words, folks, no matter what we face on this side of glory, if it's for Christ, it's worth it. It's worth it. Folks, here tonight, resolve in your heart that when the times of overwhelming comes, that you will live close to the Lord, to worship the Lord, to seek the Lord, to love the Lord, and to have love for the Lord. In spite of how you feel, what you think, or how bleak things may look. David goes on back in Psalm 61. David goes on in the second half of verse number 4. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. David expresses his confidence in the Lord. David resolves to cast himself completely upon the grace of God, trusting the Lord to sustain him, help him, and keep him. He resolves that regardless of what comes his way, he will run to God and he will trust the Lord to shelter him and protect him from the sorrows and pains of life. It gets back to that thought earlier of going to God first. Because you know what? Our friends and our family, no matter how much they love us, no matter how much you love them, they can't shelter us like God can. And that's the illustration here. We see again that this should be our resolve as well. We cannot protect ourselves. We cannot starve off even the smallest of troubles and trials. Like a little baby chick facing a hawk, we're helpless before our sorrows. But folks, praise God that there is a God in heaven who loves us and who says we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He died for us and he rose again to give us life. And we rest in his grace in the mercy seat. As part of his relationship with us, he has committed himself to our perpetual care. So instead of seeking to face the trials of life in your own power, because folks, you can't do it alone, resolve to run to the Lord and look to shelter and look to him to shelter you from all that comes your way. Verse number five. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. As David reflected back over the years, he reminds God how that he had heard his vows. Implied here is David reminding God of his provisions and his previous faithfulness to him. David was building a case as to why God should intervene and help him again. Furthermore, we see that David reminded God how that he had given him the heritage of those that fear thy name. Psalm 16:16, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. David was privileged and blessed to have been born of a godly lineage. His father, Jesse, surely was a godly man whose roots were in Obed, Ruth, and Boaz. David was of the generation of the upright. And folks, that is a great privilege to be descended from those who earlier were men and women of great faith and godliness. Again, we see that it could be inferred here that David was reminding God of that as further reason to provide deliverance to him. And finally, verses 6 through 8, there in Psalm 61. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Therefore, with faith in hand, David carefully reminded God that he had promised to preserve him. 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Verses 12 through 16. Starting at verse 4, this is what is referred to as the seventh covenant, or the covenant with David. But we'll begin there at verse number 12. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Before we move on, I want you to notice there in verse number 15, that first part. But my mercy shall not depart away from him. My mercy shall not depart away from him. Folks, isn't that a great thought? That, and this is also God's promise to you and I as his children. He will never take his mercy away from you and I. He will never leave us alone. He will never forsake us. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he is it that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Folks, he's not going to take his mercy from you. He wasn't going to take it from David. And that's what David was reminding him of. But what is significant here is that David reminded God of his promise. It was the basis of his faith. Further, we see that David used this promise as a lever, so to speak, to move God to answer his prayer. All throughout the Bible, great prayers frequently remind God of his problem, of his promise. It is the essence of faith. He continues in that same vein back in Psalm 61. He says, he shall abide before God, verse 7, forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. God had promised to preserve David in the covenant he had made with him. Remember 2 Samuel 7:16, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. So therefore, David pled, oh, prepare, verse number 8, or the last part of verse 7, oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. David referred to himself here in the third person. He besought God to prepare extra mercy and truth for his preservation from the revolt. As a result, David promised that so will I sing, verse number 8, unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. When God, in fact, gave David the victory, he promised to sing even more praise to him. And furthermore, we see that he would do so so that he would be able to continue to fulfill the vows he had made to God on a daily basis. You know, this verse number 8, "So will I sing praise unto thy name forever," reminds me of Paul when he was in jail. And Paul do, he started singing. You know, you get thrown in jail, you're not going to want to sing. The storms of life come, the overwhelming comes, you're not going to want to sing. But folks, we have that implication here, that when those storms of life do come, that when the overwhelming comes, sing to God. Praise God. Because we have victory in Jesus. We're on the winning side. Hey, we don't know about tomorrow, but we know who holds the future. Excellent song this morning by the choir. And so true. We know who holds the future. We know who holds tomorrow. So, how can we break this down for us today? When your heart is overwhelmed, go on singing and serving. When your heart is overwhelmed, sing and serve with joy. You know, you're filled with sorrows and suffering and trials and overwhelming situations. You know, come to church, get a smile on your face, sing victory in Jesus. I'm on the winning side. It's okay. It's going to be all right. Guess what? If you've read the end of Revelation, guess what? We win. So what we go through on this side of glory, it will be worth it all. Man, so many songs that we could have sung tonight. So, what do we learn from David and this passage here tonight? What do we do when we feel overwhelmed? Very simply the following. Seek God, remembering that He is your rock. He is your shelter, and He is your strength. Abide with Him, trust Him, remember His promises and His previous faithfulness. Folks, God has never let you down before. Why would He start now? He won't. He'll never let you down. And once you have all of that, continue on in His work. Continue to serve Him faithfully so that His work may be accomplished, that souls may be saved. And like David, that you'd be able to sing praise unto thy name forever, that you may perform your vows. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed here tonight. The invitation tonight will be a simple one. Number one, you're here tonight and you say, I have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't know that heaven is my home, but I'd like to know that tonight. I'd like to know that my future is secure. You say, I'd like to accept Christ as my Savior here tonight. If you'd like to do that, would you just raise your hand? We'd have someone talk to you. We won't embarrass you. We won't point you out. But if you'd like to know that you can know that Christ is your Savior, that heaven's your home, would you slip up your hand and we'll have someone talk to you? All right. Anyone else? All right, then for you, Christian, here tonight, you're here tonight and you say, I'm overwhelmed. I've been overwhelmed. As Lagaya gets ready to play a hymn of invitation, let's stand together. Lagaya, turn your eyes. As Lagaya begins to play, turn your eyes upon Jesus. You have a heavy heart here tonight. Would you come to this altar and do business with God. You have an overwhelmed heart here tonight. Something and someone that you need to be praying for, then you come. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this night. And Father, we thank you that we can rest in your promises and your care, that you are our rock, that you are our strength, that you are our salvation. And Father, we just pray for those that are making decisions, whether here at the altar or in their pew, that you would just help them to keep on keeping on. And Father, we just love you and thank you for what you will do and will continue to do. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. Amen. All right, take your light blue hymn books, number 261, as Ray comes to lead. And tell you what, guy, we'll actually sing it a cappella. Okay. All right, Ray, you come and lead us in it. And folks, listen to the words as we sing. And we'll dismiss.
Are we? Okay. We're just going to sing an a cappella, 261. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Over us sin no more as dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. close us in prayer, please.
Dismissed.